Good morning and welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, of course. You know that already. It is Wednesday, May 2nd, 2007, about 2 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. And maybe you're at our website, franklyspeakingradio.com. Welcome to all of you, and be aware of our phone number. Same as it always is, 800-313-9443. So, when we left off, we were talking about this story here. This is from the International Herald Tribune, and it's about this UN Security Council member meeting about climate change and how it ties into a variety of different things. And they're talking about how people, for the most part, will start to form little posses and groups and armies and insurgencies against their governments when things get out of hand. Now, who's discussing this? Think about it. These are governmental representatives from all over the planet. The UN Security Council. So they're getting together to discuss how climate change is going to pose military problems. Meaning what? That various countries, I'll give you a perfect example. Let's say, for example, that the U.S. government is, certainly oppressing us and whatnot. They're not oppressing us so we won't go over, you know, we all just say, hey, let's charter a flight and fly over to, Zaire and overthrow their government. No. They're worried about us overthrowing our own government. And these are government officials talking about this. So what they're saying here is, hey, governments of the world, be aware that your own people might have a revolution against you, that your own people in your own country might overthrow your government when they find out that they can't get the things they're used to having, which is, again, presumably, for at least here in the United States, food, water, energy. So how do they counteract that? Surveillance society? And a lack of freedoms. That's it. It's that simple. It has already begun, and it has been implemented since the Patriot Act back in 2001. Well, here we are, almost at the midpoint of 2007, is still going strong with the anti-terror thing. But in terms of global warming, well, that'll be where the Democrats pick up, Hillary and all the others. Yes, they still believe in the war on terror, but it doesn't matter. See, if Hillary comes into office, she could say, hey, look, you know, I'm bringing all our troops back home. The war on terror is over. We are going to defend ourselves here, and we'll make sure that we're protected. And everyone, you know, who's sick and tired of this war, and I think most of us are, will cheer and celebrate and say, Hillary's the greatest president already, and she's only one day in office. What you don't understand, of course, is that the surveillance society and the lack of freedoms and all the things that we have seen thus far take place in the United States under the guise of the war on terror will continue and expand in the guise of the war against carbon emissions, which is a lie. It's just an excuse to continue doing the same thing. This is a very, very important point. It's also important to understand that they have to get the guns out of the hands of the people. Now, obviously, that's going to be an issue in all the other countries as well, but it is the biggest issue here in the United States. So when we talk about the shooting at Virginia Tech and we talk about the mind control and was this guy an operative, was he simply following his programming to go ahead and inspire this type of situation to inspire more discussion on gun control? Absolutely. Will it continue to happen? Absolutely. What's the agenda? The governments are meeting, folks, in the United Nations. They're meeting to discuss what to do. And one of the biggest problems they've found is that the populations finally say enough is enough. And they overthrow their governments when things get too bad. So them knowing what's going on, what's going to happen, they're very, very aware of what's happening. And they're trying to head this one off at the pass. It's a big issue. It's a big story when you read between the lines. So anyway, stay with us. We're up to our first break here, my friends. We shall return in a mere 3 minutes with more news and more Frankly Speaking Radio. Please stay with us.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust attack. just war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Very excited to have you with us here tonight, covering a wide variety of different subjects. But what we're seeing here is the governments of the world sort of unifying, getting together and talking about the fact that people, citizens of various nations, are going to start rising up against their governments if this situation gets out of hand, meaning, of course, climate change and whatnot. Now, obviously, when you look at sort of what the agenda is, it is a surveillance society. It is a lack of freedoms. And the guise here is something that a lot of people might not buy into with the whole war on terror. When you think about terrorism, you'll say something like, well, you know, I don't really see how it's such a big deal. Yes, we got hit, and we could get hit every single day. That doesn't mean that we need to give up our freedoms and live life in a cage. America has always been viewed as a land of the free, not the land of the terrified. And that's what terrorism is supposed to do, inspire fear. Why are we afraid? So a lot of people might view that and say, hey, look, why am I giving up my freedoms in the hopes that some politician, some bureaucrat's going to protect me? Unlikely. Not only is it unlikely, it's just not going to happen. They don't care about you. Folks, you know what we are to them? We are appliances. We serve a purpose. Maybe we wash the dishes. Maybe we keep the food cold. Maybe we cook the food. Maybe we clean the floors. But the point is, that's all we are to them, appliances. We're utilitarian. When we've served our purpose, no big deal, we're gone. Which is, you know, ties in exactly with what we talked about with Sergeant Bill and the way the U.S. military is being treated. They've served their purpose. Hey, look, come over here and be homeless, that's fine. Who cares? You went out there, you killed some Iraqis, good for you. Mission accomplished, good luck with the rest of your life. So what I'm saying is that you can't count on them to protect you from terrorism. You also can't count on them or big business or anybody else to protect you from the changes that the planet's going to go through. Because you driving your car and the idea that it's going to raise the temperature by a couple of degrees in 100 years from now doesn't concern me at all. I just don't care. I know, it sounds awful. And if you knew me, you know that that might shock a lot of people because I love being outdoors. I love camping and hiking and just being outside. Love being outside. Love being in the woods. Love going to state parks. And Arkansas has an amazing assortment of state parks. But that's immaterial. And I'm not saying, hey, look, it doesn't affect me because I'm not going to be around here. What I'm saying is I don't believe that it affects me because there's no proof and there's no accountability. What if they're wrong? What if we all give up all of our freedoms and all of our rights to stave off global warming 100 years from now? And then what happens? Then our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids and so on and so forth, they won't have any freedoms because we gave them up. And we'll say, well, look, you got the temperature only rose 2 degrees instead of 6 degrees. What do you think your kids and grandkids are going to say about that? You think they're going to say, hey, good trade, Grandpa? No, unlikely. They're going to say, hey, thanks for nothing. We got a very beautiful cage here that you've entrapped us in. Thanks for nothing. That's what they're going to say, maybe a few expletives tossed in. And rightly so. What's more important to you, your freedom or the fact that, you know, your great-grandkids, might be able to walk around completely tag-chipped, monitored, surveilled, and yet the temperature didn't go up quite as many degrees 100 years from now? Well, that's wonderful. Great. Thanks for that, they're going to say. But it's not a fair trade, folks. We have to keep it in context here. It's just like the terrorism thing. It's a process of gradualism. The powers that be serve, you know, Lucifer, honestly. So in that regard, this whole agenda has been moving forward glacially, far, far, far surpassing the lifespan of those who seek to implement these things. Why is it that you've got, you know, the power elite for thousands of years have always worked towards the same agenda? Does that not indicate a sort of eternal agenda here, an undying sort of psyche powering the whole thing and facilitating the whole thing? I think so. I think it's pretty plain to me, just my assessment. So what I'm saying here, in essence, is that we have to be cognizant of what the sacrifice is. What's the trade-off? I just don't buy into it, and I hope that you guys will also hold your freedoms in a much higher regard than the government would like you to believe. Because men and women, not just in the U.S. military, but planet-wide, have shed their blood, have given their lives for your freedom. And you say, well, what do you mean, you know, throughout human history? Well, because, you know, inevitably society has changed. Society has evolved. Society, and I'm not saying evolution per se, but just governments and whatnot, the whole systems had to come from somewhere. And people had to fight to implement those systems. And you're cheapening their sacrifice, especially in our time now. The sacrifice of those who have given lives and shed blood for these freedoms that we have, that we're so willing to throw away. It should really come as no surprise to us then that we don't pay attention to the plight of the veterans in this country when we don't even appreciate the sacrifice of the countless generations of veterans before them who have preserved these things so well. And we're so willing to give up on. So understand exactly what is going on here. It's a control mechanism, and they're talking about it in the United Nations Security Council among government officials, not because they want to protect you, but because they want to protect their existence as the power elite, as the string pullers and the purse holders. Now, you could make the case, and you could be correct, that the U.S. government is seeking to preserve the United States citizens' right to exist and our ability to exist in the fashion that we've grown accustomed to, which is, of course, having, you know, water when we turn on the faucet, having food when we go to the store, having gas at the gas stations. And you could say, well, look, yeah, maybe they're out there waging war, but they're doing so so that way the United States can control these natural resources and we'll be okay. I suppose it's possible. I think it's also unlikely. I'll give you an example. Iraq. What are they, number three in oil production in the world? Have your gas prices gone down in the last 4 years? No, they've steadily gone up, in fact. In fact, just looking at it now, I think it's almost $3 here in northwest Arkansas for a gallon of gasoline. That is a higher amount than the price gouging that happened the day of September 11, 2001. Gas prices jumped from like $1.15 or something to like $2.50, $2.60, and people were flipping out. Oh, there were fights, fist fights at the gas station. This is in northwest Arkansas in September 11th. Cars out there into the street blocking traffic and so on and so forth. People just freaking out about gasoline. So inherently they know that there's a connection at some level, even though we didn't know who did it. And, you know, I did my best on the airwaves that morning to kind of calm everybody down with my 8-hour shift. But, you know, it was crazy, crazy time, folks. What I'm saying, though, is that you have not been served by the power elite in this country and their attempt to secure natural resources at all. So what makes you think that in the future that your interests will be served? I just think you got to go with history. If I walk up and slap you in the face every time I see you, are you going to say, well, maybe this time Frank won't slap me in the face? Well, you'd be an idiot. And unfortunately, we are, for the most part, a nation of idiots. Anyway, so the story goes on to talk about how the people tend to overthrow the government, join radical political groups, and join insurgencies and armies and form these types of things to overthrow the government. And it goes on, it says, sometimes people migrate in large numbers to regions where resources seem more plentiful, only to fight with people who are already there. So a little civil war type of situation. It says, or they migrate to urban slums where unemployed young men can be primed to join criminal gangs or radical political groups. Which you probably would be deemed a radical political person, as I would, because we don't buy into the Democrat-Republican paradigm and the supposed interests of the people that they serve, which they do not. The story says climate change will have similar effects. If nations fail to aggressively limit carbon dioxide emissions and develop technologies and institutions that allow people to cope with a warmer planet, technologies and institutions that will allow us to cope with a warmer planet. Now, that's completely off subject here, because the technologies and the institutions will be governing agencies, will be monitoring systems to be able to, of course, punish you, monitor your activities. Not because they're concerned if you drive an extra mile, but if you drive an extra mile, they can charge you for it. And they can surveil you, have an excuse to watch you and monitor you, because you may be deciding to drive that extra mile to go and try to rally some people together for some sort of protest or some sort of revolution. So the idea that they're getting all these governments together and saying, hey, look, this is what happens when the climate gets out of control. The big power elite go and acquire all the natural resources, and make the little people suffer, and then little people revolt. So how do we stop this? Well, we have to help people adapt. We have to aggressively limit carbon dioxide emissions. That's BS. You're telling me that the people are a threat, so therefore we need to limit carbon dioxide emissions? No. If the people are a threat to the government, then, and not just here, but planet-wide, as the United Nations Security Council is discussing, but if the various indigenous people are a threat to that particular government, then the first and foremost thing that they're going to do is prioritize their agenda, and the priority number one is not going to be limiting carbon dioxide in the hopes of staving this off. It's going to be dealing with the possible threat of a civilian revolution in every country. That's priority number one. Make no mistake about it. It's only common sense. All right, stay with us. Another quick break. We'll be back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Zionist plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is a Zionist and how Congress is controlled by the Zionists. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural.com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio tonight. No exception. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio. It is, Wednesday, May 2nd, 2007. So, yeah, who knows how far all this is going to go? Who knows where inevitably all of these changes and political machinations behind the scenes will take us. But very, very interesting things. Anyway, the story concludes here, and again, written in the International Herald Tribune by Thomas Homer Dixon, Tuesday, April 24th, 2007. He concludes with this: "We've learned in recent years that such failure can have consequences around the world, that great powers can't always isolate themselves from these consequences. It is time to put climate change on the world's security agenda." So again, global warming equals global security issue equals global government to secure the problem. It's very, very interesting. I mentioned about John McCain and his recent statements. I found this today at worldnetdaily.com, or technically yesterday if you want to be particular about it. USAtoday.com, he says this: "Republican presidential candidate John McCain envisions a League of Democracies as part of a more cooperative foreign policy with U.S. allies. The Arizona senator will call for such an organization to be, quote, the core of an international order of peace based on freedom, end quote. He said that in a speech Tuesday at the Hoover Institution in Stanford, California. McCain said, quote, we Americans must be willing to listen to the views and respect the collective will of our democratic allies. Our great power does not mean we can do whatever we want whenever we want, nor should we assume that we have all the wisdom, knowledge, and resources necessary to succeed, end quote. Ah, yes, we must learn to listen and respect the collective will of our democratic allies. Can't do whatever we want, folks. And he said that we should basically be a part of an organization, an international order of peace based on freedom. So if you take countries around the world, now obviously you can't always impose freedom, but if a country is there, they're a democracy, they want to join the League of Democracies, well then guess what? You've got your global government. Now obviously this is intriguing in a number of different fashions because in essence not everyone will be eligible to join, right? But what you've got John McCain out here envisioning is sort of a new United Nations. And as a result of that, they'll have new authority and new powers. But again, let me read the story and you'll see how significant this is if you don't already. Such comments offer a contrast to President Bush, who critics contend has employed a stubborn, go-it-alone foreign policy that has dramatically damaged the U.S. image abroad. Very interesting point as well. McCain is presenting an alternative to George W. Bush's sort of, we'll do it ourselves. If you're not with us, you're against us. And John McCain is saying, hey, look, let's have a League of Democracies, where if you're with us, you're with us, but if you're not a democracy, you're against us. So in essence, he's not saying anything too different from George W. Bush, but he is also having a more inclusive policy, a more inclusive vision that would be quite in keeping with the Democrat position, right? So here you've got John McCain. John McCain is bought and sold and paid for. He is definitely, when you look at his history and you look at all the shenanigans he's been involved in, this guy knows what's going on. He knows who he's serving, and he is happy to do his part. So when you got John McCain floating this theory out there about a League of Democracies, well, when you've got George W. Bush in the White House, it looks kind of appealing, doesn't it? If only because it's such a departure, but not really a departure. Yet he floats it out there. Why? Just like when you first heard about the Total Information Awareness Network, this surveillance collective where they would keep a variety of different bits and pieces of information and basically data mine you and keep all of your files together so they know, of course, where you are, when you're there, what you're buying, what you're renting, what you're eating, and so on and so forth, monitoring you through a collection of different intelligence gathering data mining projects. So when you first heard about that, of course, you were upset. You don't think they knew that you'd be upset with that? They floated it out there to see the reaction. Then, of course, they yanked the TIA. They said, oh, we're not going to do that anymore. Well, guess what? They set it up in the private sector. It's not the government doing it, but the government gets access to it because they pay for it from whichever institution, private corporation is facilitating these data mining projects. That's a fact. You can go ahead and do the research on this. So what you've got John McCain doing is doing his job. You know, and again, if the agenda here is to tank the election and give it to the Democrats, presumably Hillary Clinton, then you have John McCain float this out there to see what people think. If people agree with it, Hillary will embrace it. If people disagree with it, Hillary will embrace a different concept, because this is more of an amalgam of the Hillary sort of global government and the George Bush, we can do it all by ourselves, we don't need anybody else's help, even though Bush is always talking about a coalition of the willing. So you can see there's really not a whole lot of difference between the Democrat and Republican positions, but this is now being floated out there for public approval, for people to start talking about a League of Democracies. Why? Well, we'll cover that when we come back here from this next break. Stay with us, folks. Only 3 minutes, and then more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
I'm gonna find my baby. Woo! Oh, that sun goes down. I'm gonna find my baby. Woo! Oh, that sun goes down. I'm gonna
Welcome back. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan, and welcome back, of course. We're talking about John McCain, and he's putting the call out there for a League of Democracies. Very, very interesting stuff. It goes on. McCain is careful to note that his proposed multinational organization would not be like Woodrow Wilson's failed League of Nations. Rather, McCain says the organization would be far more similar to what Theodore Roosevelt favored, a group of, quote, like-minded nations working together in the cause of peace, end quote. Well, that didn't sound too bad, does it? Well, then McCain says this, quote, it could act where the UN fails to act, end quote. Ah, yes. That's where it gets interesting, right? The United Nations. The United Nations, inherently a bureaucracy that nobody really respects, I don't think. And certainly for countries like the United States and whatnot, when you look at what we've tried to facilitate and whatnot, It has probably been extremely frustrating for most people to watch China and Russia band together to block anything and everything that disagrees with their personal agenda. That's how it would seem, anyway. Well, how much also is it frustrating for a lot of the other countries who maybe want to see some things passed against Israel to have the United States in there blocking that? So it's kind of a tit-for-tat sort of thing, and in essence, nothing really comes of it. Nothing, no progress is made, no agenda is pursued. Everything's kind of stalemated and blocked at every opportunity, which, again, should come as no surprise. But McCain says such a new body could help relieve suffering in Darfur, fight the AIDS epidemic in Africa, develop better environmental policies, and provide, quote, unimpeded market access, end quote, to countries sharing, quote, the values of economic and political freedom, end quote. So, again, another idea here of again, opening up trade boundaries and so on and so forth. So McCain's just pushing for a smaller version of global government. Nothing new there. McCain adds, an organization of democracies could pressure tyrants, quote, with or without Moscow's and Beijing's approval, and could impose sanctions on Iran and thwart its nuclear ambitions, end quote, while helping struggling democracies succeed. Another really fascinating point, because he specifically mentions China and Russia as blocking the agenda to impose sanctions and perhaps pursue something a little stronger measure, such as Iran. He says impose sanctions on Iran and thwart its nuclear ambitions, implying it's two separate issues. So what he's talking about here, folks, is basically like a bigger version of the EU, okay, per se, where it wouldn't be the United Nations necessarily. It would simply be a league of democracies whose sole purpose out there is to facilitate democracy and eliminate threats without having Russia and China sort of teaming up to squash any sort of agenda that might want to, you know, to be pursued through UN channels. Very, very important point, because I see this as having a certain amount of backlash. And the backlash I see in this regard would be basically people like China and Russia and Iran and Syria and any other country that might have something to do with it. I'm sure Venezuela would have something to do with that, forming their own League of, I hate the United States' League of Democracies. You know, I hate John McCain group. Come and join us. So this thing is being floated out there to be bigger than a North American Union, to be bigger than a European Union, but not be quite as big as a global government, because the thing has to have phases. But I think that's done by design. I really do. I think John McCain floating this out there will inspire the countries he's mentioned and their trading partners, their economic partners, their military partners, their security partners, to form their own sort of anti-John McCain's League of Democracies. And maybe do it beforehand. Because other countries in the world, what are they going to do? They're going to read that story and they're going to say, oh, crap. Well, he specifically mentioned us. He mentioned Iran, he mentions Russia, he mentions China. So those countries in and of themselves, aside from all the people they deal with, are going to look at that and say, man, if John McCain gets to be president, that's going to be a big issue. Now, people who know better know that John McCain is not going to be president. But this, in essence, floats that out as sort of an agenda. Maybe not John McCain's agenda per se, but an agenda perhaps for politicians in general. They might say, oh, this is the Republican Party agenda. Now, I see it to be Democrat-Republican agenda altogether. There's really no difference. But what I'm saying here is that they'll go ahead and form their own sort of anti-League of Democracies. I don't know what they'd call it, probably the League of Freedom or something. You know, something with a nice, flowery, happy, you know, palatable name. But once that happens, what's going to happen? Well, you're going to have talking heads all over the mainstream media saying, these guys are forming strategic partnerships. Why are they doing this? They're doing this to solidify their loyalties and their financial and political and military agendas. And then guess what? John McCain will have his League of Democracies as a retaliatory measure. He floated the idea out there. They'll probably jump on it. And then we'll have to reciprocate. So then, again, not quite a global government yet, but at least two giant factions who will want to duke it out, and presumably they'll go and recruit any of the other smaller nations, so on and so forth. So this could very well be the end of the United Nations, but A bigger and more pressing problem would be, of course, World War III. And you can see that this whole idea of he's saying, oh, yeah, we can solve the genocide issues, and we can solve the AIDS issues, and we can solve the Iran issues. No, you can't. You can just simply bring it to a head, which is what they're trying to do. So, again, this is floated out there for a multitude of different reasons. Number one, to inspire the country's name to form their own, so that way we can simply look like we're reacting, not being proactive in starting the trouble. Secondly, it looks like it's a counter to what George W. Bush is doing, but that's not true, because we're already involved with countries in talking about spreading freedom and democracy to the rest of the world. So we're already involved with like-minded nations. Thirdly, it does set the stage for, you know, in the aftermath. Keep in mind, we still have George W. Bush for another year and a half, okay? An attack on Iran can lead into World War III any day. And then what happens? Well, then you've got a Democrat, a peacemaker, somebody coming in there and basically saying, hey, look, we can all get along. We all have this, 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 and this in common, and this would be a great thing for us to unify about. That's a big issue. And I can see this all being laid out like this. But you have to understand the control mechanisms of politics, certainly here in America, in order to understand what this is all about. Anyway, to conclude this very important story, recalling Harry S. Truman's actions during the Cold War, McCain also urges a similar, quote, massive overhaul of the nation's foreign policy, defense, and intelligence agencies, quote, to meet the world's current challenges. He says details would come later. Well, of course they'll come later, because he hasn't been told exactly what the plan is. But he's floating it out there as a sociological experiment to the American people to find out how they'll respond, how they will react to this very, very big issue of a basically a new UN. Now, as I said, folks, most of the people out there don't really buy into the UN as being a good thing, as being an effective thing, as being something that can actually accomplish anything. So this is important in that regard, because it does highlight some bigger issues. Now, speaking of bigger issues and the fact that these things are being discussed in other places as well, we've got some additional stories on that. But I'm just looking for – here you go. Okay. Let's look at this one. Also from the International Herald Tribune, this one came out on the 26th. It says, whatever happened to spring, wherever it has gone, few people seem to be complaining for now. Cafe owners with outdoor terraces are among those who have been taking advantage of unseasonably warm weather across many parts of Western Europe. Since the start of April, the temperatures and dryness have set records in parts of France and Germany. There has also been a lack of rain in Italy, the Netherlands, and Britain, prompting tourists and locals alike to spend more of their time and money dining outdoors and buying supplies for barbecues and picnics. While few object to putting on sunglasses and lighter clothing earlier than usual, there already are fears that droughts and electricity shortages are just around the corner. For some climate change experts, the unseasonably high temperatures are a reason for anxiety, not relaxation, said Stefan Halligott, who participates in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, a UN body, quote, look out for summer, four seasons of warm weather in a row can create quite a shock to our ecosystem, end quote. He foresees restrictions on water use and a growing likelihood of infestations by pests and insects. Frederick Nathan, a forecaster with Meteo France, the national weather agency there, attributed the current phenomena in part to a weather system in Eastern Europe and warm air from North Africa, conditions that are expected to continue throughout the weekend. And again, this came out last week, so it's not entirely appropriate to what we're talking about, which is long-term stuff. He says, quote, but there is also the factor of global warming, end quote, and added that this month is likely to be the warmest April on record in France. Very important. He also said, quote, we've had an exceptionally warm month with temperatures more than 10 degrees above the seasonal averages, and we expect the next 3 months to be above normal, end quote. So they're 10 degrees above average, yet in 100 years it might be, if we don't cut our carbon emissions, it's going to be 6 degrees warmer than it is now. So is it 6 degrees warmer than it is now on average, or 6 degrees warmer than the 10 degrees above where we already are? So you see all the intricacies of this 100-year forecast and how it falls apart under scrutiny. Anyway, Nathan said there was barely a drop of rain in some parts of France during most of April, something that is, quote, very, very rare, end quote. British forecasters also say April is likely to set a new record in terms of highest mean temperature. Mean, of course, means average. Globally, the five warmest years ever recorded have been within the past decade, with 2005 setting the record. Prime Minister Romano Prodi of Italy is scheduled to meet his cabinet next week to discuss emergency measures and possibly call a state of emergency to free up aid to deal with a drought after northern Italy and pockets of central Italy experienced record-setting heat during April. So they want to free up some emergency federal aid, state of emergency, to deal with a drought that hasn't happened yet. So that's how serious this global warming is sort of infecting the minds of world leaders around the planet. In Germany, the Wednesday edition of the paper Bild carried a front-page headline predicting a, quote, Sahara summer. Hot weather has a macabre history in France, where extreme heat in August of 2003 led to 14,802 more deaths than usual for that time of year, the majority of whom were elderly. So there's your strain on the power grid. There's your issue with, affecting people's lives. Now, of course, that just trims off the fat. That's the way the powers that be will look at it. They'll say, oh, they're just the elderly. Who cares, right? That's what they'll say. I don't agree with that. But if we do have rolling blackouts, as we have seen before, this time perhaps not manufactured, we've certainly seen the refineries not holding up their end of the bargain, and what's going to happen with the power systems come summer. Now, we've been fairly close, I don't know, mid-70s last couple days. It was warmer last weekend, but, we're getting some rain periodically this week, so it's not going to be too warm. But it is unseasonably warm for Arkansas, and at this time of year, usually we get a lot more rain than we have gotten thus far, which means it could be unseasonably dry as well. And I know other states are having severe water restrictions going on. Florida is having helicopter surveillance of people who might be breaking water restrictions. That's pretty significant. Okay, when you can pay for the manpower and the fuel to be flying around neighborhoods making sure nobody's watering the grass on Wednesday or something. Georgia also in a severe drought. They have been for like the last 10 years, and they've got wildfires to contend with as well. We talked about Australia possibly having to evacuate half of the entire population of that continent. That's big, big, big stuff. So where does it go? Well, again, these world leaders are not really all that concerned about the elderly dying off because of the heat. They're not concerned about people starving. They're concerned about people revolting, people staging a revolution and overthrowing the government, and the government not having the ability, of course, to line their own pockets. That's what they're concerned about. And we mentioned about John McCain's League of Democracies, of like-minded countries getting together to take matters into their own hands. But, of course, listen to the political will of these other countries who are great friends of ours and so on and so forth. It specifically mentions ignoring Russia and China and dealing with Iran the way that, he would see fit to do. Now, obviously, when you look at this, you could say, well, this could really get nasty, and it could. This one is from World Politics Watch, April 25th. In an interview with the mass circulation German tabloid Bild, German Chancellor and current EU President Angela Merkel marked the EU's 50th birthday celebration by revealing her wish list, including a European army. So this would obviously transcend something like NATO or something like the UN peacekeeping forces. This would be a European Union army. This would be a collection of countries signed on to a government. And, of course, Angela Merkel also wants an EU constitution during her presidency, which we'll see if that happens. But she wants a European army. So this is starting to be discussed. Now, this is moderately already in place. But this is a big issue in terms of what McCain is talking about. This is a big issue in terms of what the UN Security Council is talking about people sort of being the real issue here in the aftermath and certainly during climate change catastrophes. Big issue. So what Merkel and other EU leaders want is not a perpetuating of existing arrangements, but a European fighting force independent of but working with NATO. Given the complexities of existing EU defense arrangements, it is easy to understand the desire of European leaders for the kind of unified command and control structure a European army would need. While Merkel claimed the prospect had, quote, come closer, end quote, the current gap between aspiration and reality still appears considerable. And again, it appears considerable because they haven't facilitated this in terms of global warming, in terms of the threat to the various governments from their own people and presumably other people who would like to acquire their natural resources. So this is going to get fast-tracked, folks. Make no mistake. The fact you got John McCain talking about it, the UN Security Council talking about it, and the EU talking about it, and certainly great strides being made to push forward this North American Union, this is a big deal. And it's a big deal now, not further down the line. However, this author here is relatively skeptical, and I can appreciate that. Here's what it says. However, no one should underestimate the strength of EU political will to overcome major political obstacles and draw together the disparate strands that make up the current European defense capability. So just how close is the reality of a European army? There's nothing new in the desire for a European defense force. It was a goal of the formative members of the EU back in 1952, and it may surprise some to know it had the backing of President Harry Truman and subsequently Dwight Eisenhower. Well, who did John McCain reference at the end of that story but Harry Truman? Very interesting. The story goes on. It was not until 1999, when the Amsterdam Treaty made significant changes to the Treaty on European Union, that the EU started to come to grips with pulling the key military strands together. As of January 2007, around 60,000 national troops are in theory ready for deployment for a period of up to 1 year. So it's already making huge strides forward. Very interesting stuff. Stay with us, folks. We got to knock out this break. We're back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio in the conclusion of our broadcast this evening.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Thank you.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. It has been certainly an action-packed 4 hours, and here we are at the conclusion of that. Covered a great deal of material. We've talked about, of course, climate change and sort of what is being discussed. The U.S. and the EU promising, pledging their sort of... I'm just at a loss for words. They're pledging their ability to work together on this climate change issue. They're pledging some solidarity. Well, then the U.S. and China have some issues with some of the wording in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, Part 3 of 4, to be released at the end of this week. And it will be, of course, inevitably debated at some point. But then you've got other issues that come up where they're talking about energy and different things like that. But what it boils down to is the fact that you've got John McCain sort of floating out this concept to the American people, if they, of course, even read the story or heard the story, about a League of Democracies, people who can really not have, a group of nations who can facilitate their agenda to preserve freedom and democracy throughout the world without having Russia and China in there causing problems, and we can actually go ahead and deal with Iran. Very, very interesting. Because in terms of where Bush is at and where Hillary is at or will be at, you can see that the agenda here is basically to either do one of two things: annihilate the United Nations completely for now, facilitate the creation of two entities that will duke it out in this World War III scenario, thereby paving the way for a world that's frustrated with warfare and conflict and forming some unified government, something that has some teeth to it as opposed to the United Nations. Or, of course, the idea here, if it doesn't need to come to that, simply allow various countries throughout the world to acquiesce to a global government by way of the United Nations in terms of allowing them to continue their existence and to say, hey, look, if you sign on to this global government issue, we will handle all of the distribution of rations for your people. We'll make sure you have all the food, water, and energy that you need. Not that you want, but that you need. And we'll be able to handle all of this. Creating a giant global bureaucracy, a global government. And again, either way, either they have to jump through hoops and have war to get to that point, or everybody just goes along with the flow because they're so terrified of the idea that we're screwing up the planet by driving cars and using electricity and so on and so forth. Either way, folks, you can see this agenda. It's a three-part agenda. Achieve these things: global government, global currency, global religion. They are very, very, very close to global government. And you're seeing the methods by which this is all being set up. So pay close attention, folks, and understand that all of these insights and all these things, all these horrific scenarios have all been laid out for you in Revelation, in the Bible. And you know, if you've read it, we win. So there's nothing to worry about. Just be aware of what they're trying to hoodwink you with. And be aware of the value of freedom in every possible conceivable way. And don't give that up. Not willingly. See you tomorrow.
It's true.